We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining me now is none other than JJ Regan. He is the Caps beat reporter for NBC Sports Washington. You can keep up with him on Twitter at JJ Regan NBCS. JJ, thank you so much for your time and welcome to Unleashing Fury.
Sure. Good to be on.
Jumping right into it, obviously the Caps are suffering through a five-game losing streak right now. Listening to the post-game show on the radio yesterday following the loss to Chicago, I heard an interesting stat where you have to go back, I think, 5 and 6 years to find the last Capitals losing streak of five or more games, which is, you know, really speaks to the testament of how well this team has played throughout the last few years. But I'm giving you the floor here to open things up. For those fans who might be on the ledge already, you know, what can you say to those fans who might be thinking already that the season could be in jeopardy just through a five-game losing streak in January?
Well, it's certainly too early for that. You know, I don't want anyone to get me wrong. The Capitals are not playing well right now at all, and they have to be better. But the fact is, this is what you see over an 82-game season. There are ups and downs. There are ebbs and flows. This is a low point for the Capitals. But you know what? Last year, they had several low points. They had consecutive blowout losses to Nashville and Colorado to the point where we were wondering if Barry Trotz would survive the season. And that was very early on in the season. I didn't think I was watching the Stanley Cup winner at that point. And they got through that. We saw Braden Holtby. There were stretches in February and March where it looked like he couldn't stop a beach ball. And I certainly didn't think I was seeing a key piece of the Stanley Cup puzzle. You know, he wasn't even the starter heading into the playoffs, but he regained his composure. He regained his starting job, and the rest is history. So, there, you know, it's a long season. They've got to get out of this. They've got to rally. But you know what? Even look at some of the contenders around the rest of the league. The Penguins went through a stretch earlier this season where they lost 9 out of 10, and they look pretty hot right now. You know, Vegas had a very rough start to the season. They're red hot. It took San Jose a long time to get going. Toronto right now is struggling a little bit. They've lost 4 out of 5. So this is just part of the season. It's the ebbs and flows of a season. The season doesn't start in January. You can't lose the Stanley Cup in January. So it's definitely not time to despair over the course of the season.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the season as a whole, the season is going to ebb and flow. There are peaks and valleys where, you know, they're going to go on a long winning streak, or they're going to win 9 out of 10, and then they might lose 4 or 5 games in a row and maybe win only 3 out of 8 or something like that. But, you know, right now they're 3-7 in the month of January, and even going back to the Predators game on New Year's Eve, nothing much has really gone their way throughout these first few weeks of 2019. You heard the guys in the locker room even acknowledge that their level of play as of late hasn't been that great. And you can nitpick the lack of defense, the lack of production in 5-on-5 situations, sloppy puck handling, a multitude of things, really. But from your perspective, what does Todd Reirden, his staff, and the players need to address first and foremost in order to really get this thing turned around and go into the All-Star break on a high note?
The biggest thing for me is puck management. I think that's where their biggest issue has been. They've just been sloppy with the puck. They've been making bad decisions. Yeah, I think it started with a lot of their top players have hit dry spells offensively. And even before they started losing games, I mean, think of how hot Alex Ovechkin was for a while, where it was taking hat tricks for this team to win. Well, he's not going to do that every night. And so all of a sudden the offense starts to dry up a little bit, and then you start to see things that you see from a frustrated team. You start to see them force passes into areas where they shouldn't be passing to. You start to see guys like Kuznetsov or Burakovsky just skate around in circles with the puck until they're eventually forced into a turnover because they're not distributing. So I for me, it's the puck management. And, you know, it leads to offense in the other direction. You saw that especially against Nashville, where every time they turned the puck over, Nashville ended up putting it in the back of the net, which is why that turned into a blowout. You saw it a little bit against Chicago. It's just they've got the puck, they're going up the ice, and they're not making good decisions. They're forcing passes. They're putting it in areas they shouldn't, and then all of a sudden the puck ends up going in the other direction. So that's hurting them both offensively and defensively. So they need to start making simple passes, simple plays. And you know what? If it's not there, if the pass isn't there, they need to start dumping the puck down. You've got guys like Tom Wilson who can win those board battles, who can go and fight and win the puck in the boards, in the corners. So they really just need to simplify their offensive approach and get back to protecting the puck and making good choices with the puck.
And we heard that after the game in Chicago that they had a players-only meeting and we'll only be able to really see what comes of it against San Jose and Toronto in these last two games before the break. And even I said after the game in Nashville that if there ever was sort of a come-to-Jesus moment, it was probably that one or even the night before when they got really worked by St. Louis. And from my perspective, throughout the stretch of losing, it doesn't seem like it hasn't been for a lack of heart. But for you, how many of these mistakes, you mentioned the puck handling mistakes and, you know, not really thinking things through, how much of it do you think is mental, or is it more that, you know, these teams just sort of have their number?
I think most of it is mental at this point. I don't think it's that everyone necessarily has their number. I think they're just a frustrated hockey team. They certainly look that way. They're playing that way. And, you know, some people have brought up whether there's a little bit of mental fatigue. You know, everyone looks for the Stanley Cup hangover in the middle of the season. But I've heard a lot of people come out and say, no, the Stanley Cup hangover doesn't happen at the start. It happens in the middle. It happens when you reach that halfway point of the season. All of a sudden you realize you've got another half, you got another 40 games left to go. And these games aren't as tough, aren't as fun as when you get to the playoffs, but it's a grind, you know. It's January, and this is a grind. They've played more hockey than they played in their entire lives after that long, prolonged playoff stretch where they finally went all the way. So it's a grind to get through the regular season, even for a team that didn't make the playoffs. And now you've got a team that played 24 extra games at the highest possible level. And now all of a sudden the offense has gone dry. Nothing is coming easy for them. None of the bounces are going their way. So they're acting a little bit frustrated. I don't think the book is out on the Capitals by any stretch. You've still got tons of talent. You've still got a team that has been able to find a lot of success over the Ovechkin era, over the last few years. So I don't think that all of a sudden people have figured out this team by any stretch. It's just a dry spell, and they're getting frustrated. And I think the biggest thing for them is they need to calm down, relax, back to the basics, and realize that eventually those bounces are going to start going the other way again.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about, you know, refocusing. It looks like they'll have, including the All-Star break, with the exception of Holtby, the guys will have, 7 or 8 days off before their game against Calgary on the 1st of February. So do you think, is there a sports psychologist on staff there that maybe that some of these guys could go talk to, get refocused and recentered throughout this off time? Or maybe just do they need to spend some time away from the ice and just focus on other things and then come back in those 2 days before Calgary and really get ready to hit the ground running?
Yeah, I'd say the best thing for them right now is to just take a step back, get off the ice, not think about hockey, relax a little bit. You know, Alex Ovechkin himself, he, by not playing in the All-Star game, sort of acknowledging the grind that this run has taken on him. So the best thing for these guys is to just get away a little bit and relax. The problem is, you know, clearly this is coming at a good time for them, this break. It's clearly coming at a good time. The problem is you've got two more games before then. And as bad as losing five straight games is, losing seven straight is a heck of a lot worse. So they don't want to just write these two games off and say, let's get through these games and then let's get the heck out of here and we'll regroup when we come back. There's a little element of that, but they've got to get points because they're already falling behind in the division race now to the Islanders and Columbus, and Pittsburgh's hot on their heels. So you got to try to get at least 2 points from these next two games. Find a way to squeak one out against San Jose, who's a team they always play badly against. But you know what? You're getting a little bit of good luck because Erik Karlsson's already been declared out for that game. So that's a little bit of good luck there. And in Toronto, that's always a team that the Caps play well against in Toronto. They get up for that game. So there is a chance now that they can take some points. So you don't want them to look too far into the distance and say, hey, we got this break, we can just check out. Because, you know, like I said, to have a seven-game losing streak festering for a week and a half through the break, that could cause some tension.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, one of the aspects of their game, and, you know, I think you've probably noticed it too, they tend to take a lot of penalties now, and their penalty kill is spending a good portion of time on the ice. And on the flip side, their power play hasn't really been very efficient, like a lot of us have come to know and love. And, you know, when they are on the power play, it seems like a lot of teams dare Alex Ovechkin to shoot from his quote-unquote office in that left circle. Is that another aspect in which the opposition just sort of expects that out of Washington, or is it just that, you know, like you said, just they're not getting these bounces to go, and they're not being able to really convert these chances into goals when they do get on the man advantage?
So the problem with the power play, Alex Ovechkin, everyone knows what's coming from Alex Ovechkin. He sits up in the same spot, he does the same shot, and it's worked for years and years and years, and nobody can seem to stop it. The biggest problem right now for their power play has been zone entries. Once they get set up, they look pretty good, but the problem is getting to that point. Once the puck gets out of the zone, they have a hard, hard time getting it back in. For me, I think the change that I would make if I was looking to tweak it a little bit is I think I would switch TJ Oshie with Tom Wilson. Because if you're having trouble entering the zone, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to dump the puck in and then having a guy like Tom Wilson go after it and fight for it in boards, fight for it in the corner. I think that would help it a little bit. Plus, TJ Oshie just seems a bit off since he's returned from his fifth concussion. He had a number of opportunities against Chicago right in the slot where he always sets up. Nick Backstrom set him up beautifully, and he just whiffed each time. He's just a little bit off right now. So I think with the way the power play is struggling, I think I would make that change. As for the penalty kill, the numbers aren't great on the penalty kill because they were terrible to start the season, and I don't think they're going to recover from that. But it actually hasn't been playing that poorly of late. I think their overall numbers are sort of hiding how well they've played lately when they are down a man. The biggest problem, as you said, is that they take too many penalties. And that's also a sign of a team that doesn't have the puck on its stick as much as it wants to. So I think for them, possession may be a big thing. Their possession numbers are always pretty terrible because possession numbers are based a lot on shot attempts. And this is a team that is notoriously stingy on when they shoot the puck. So I think that sort of hides their actual possession numbers. But for me, they're taking too many penalties, and that's another sign of a frustrated team. But I'm not overly concerned about the penalty kill. The power play, which has been their bread and butter for years and years, I think if you switch Tom Wilson with TJ Oshie, that's a little switch that I think you'd see dividends pretty quickly from.
And now I know we've talked a lot about the negatives, and obviously a losing streak is not not a cause for celebration at all. But on the flip side, from your perspective, what are some positives that you can take away from, you know, this tough stretch of games? Or maybe who are some guys that you've noticed that continue night in and night out to try and bring a spark to this team?
One guy that I've noticed for sure is Dmitri Yashkin. He's someone that has struggled to get into the lineup for a while. He seems not to have earned the trust of Todd Reirden. But when he's been in the past few games, he's looked very good. He's looked like someone who realizes that he's getting an opportunity and he wants to stay. So I'd like to see him get a few more opportunities and stay in the lineup. And let's not forget, there was a brief stretch earlier in the season where the fourth line looked absolutely dynamic. And it was when Yashkin was playing with Nick Dowd and Travis Boyd. Right now, when things don't seem to be working, I would go back to what has been, in my opinion, the best fourth line combination they found this season. I don't think they've looked better on that line than they did when Yashkin was with Dowd and Boyd. So I would like to see them reunite that line together. John Carlson has looked very good. He's about to go to his first career All-Star game. The defensive deficiencies are what they are for the team, and right now he's the only one on the blue line that seems to know where he's supposed to be going, what he's supposed to be doing. I think he's played very well, especially compared to the rest of the blue line there. But otherwise, you know, just about everybody is struggling. You know, you like the effort you see from Alex Ovechkin every night. He always brings it. But he's 33 years old. He's not going to be able to score a hat trick every game. So it's gone dry there. The goals will come for him. He's too talented. I've seen nothing to suggest that his game is declining yet, despite being the age of 33, when a lot of people, their stats take a nosedive. He still leads the league in goals. So he'll get back to it eventually. At this point, it's hard to imagine anyone catching him for the Rocket Richard. They could, but I like the way he's played as well.
And following the All-Star break, the Caps do get the luxury of having six straight games at home to start the month of February. You did mention, you know, coming away with points going into the All-Star break, but how important is it that they come out of this homestand in the month to begin the month of February with at least a winning record, or, you know, more points than losses, trying to keep pace in the playoff race, and also knowing that they have that Pacific Division road trip beginning on Valentine's Day that they historically do not play well on?
Yeah, that's exactly the point right there. That six-game homestand is critical because of the road trip. And the road trip is set up very bizarrely in that you have a game on February 11th against the Los Angeles Kings in Washington. The very next night, you have a back-to-back. You have to be on the road in Columbus. And then two nights later, you're playing in San Jose. So to start off their California road trip, that big road trip, they don't even get a night off before they head out. They have to head out immediately. They play the Kings. They immediately get on the plane, go to Columbus, and now they're on their six-game road trip. And once they come back from California, they've packed on games at Toronto and at Buffalo at the end of that road trip. So it's a very bizarre road trip, the six-game road trip. And as you said, they don't typically do great in California, so they're going to need a lot of points in that homestand, especially with the Islanders. You know, there was a point earlier in the season where it looked like the Caps were going to run away with the division. Now they're behind the Islanders and Columbus. I still am not a buyer in Columbus, considering the issues they're having with Sergei Bobrovsky, considering the fact that it doesn't look like Artemi Panarin is going to stay there. At some point, I think that hanging over that team's head is going to come back to bite them. But, you know, it's hard to doubt what Barry Trotz has done on Long Island. They certainly don't look like they're going away. Pittsburgh is still right on the Capitals' heels, so they're going to need points. especially because you, if possible, you would love to get a wild card team rather than having to play a team like Pittsburgh or Columbus in the first round of the playoffs. You would love to win the Metro again. I think that matters a lot for a long-term run in the playoffs this year.
And finally, the NHL trade deadline is approaching at the end of February. The only real name we've really heard floating around that could be a piece of a deal for the Caps is Andre Burakovsky. GM Brian McClellan has been quoted as saying he's open to a one-for-one deal of some kind. Given the struggles as of late and looking at the team's performance overall, this question is threefold. Do you expect Washington to be a mover on or near the deadline? And if so, do you expect them to try and make a deal for a bigger name player a la Kevin Shattenkirk to try and provide a spark? Or do they maybe go for that go for more draft picks and a lower third or fourth line guy, kind of like they did with Michael Kempney? Or if they don't make any moves at all and roll with the roster that they have, what kind of message do you think that sends to the rest of the league and the fans?
So to answer the first part of your question, yes, I do expect him to make some sort of move. Brian McClellan does not sit on his hands, even when it looks like he has the best roster in the league. And this year, obviously, is a little bit unique because they're the defending champs, and they went out of their way to not shake up the roster heading into the season. But I do think they're going to do something. I think Brian McClellan is always someone who tells you exactly what he's thinking if you read between the lines. And when he was talking about, yeah, he'd be interested in a player-for-player deal at the forward position, he could not have been more clear that he was referring to Andre Burakovsky. I'd be very surprised at this point, especially with this team's struggles. I'd be very surprised that they stood pat with him. I don't think they can afford to bring a guy who just cannot produce consistently into the playoffs right now. I would expect them to try to make him and some sort of package for a third line player. They're not going to make anything drastic. I think what happened with Kevin Shattenkirk scared them off from those kinds of deals. They're not going to try to do that again. They're trying to diamond in the rough on defense, as they did with Michael Kempney. Brian McClellan, every year that he's been general manager, has brought in a defenseman at the D-line. He likes having defensive depth. And while I think they're satisfied with the job that Jonas Siegenthaler has done, I think there are some questions about Madison Bowie, especially in the wake of how he played against Chicago. So I would expect them to add a defenseman. But the big deal, as I mentioned before, would be Andre Burakovsky trying to bring in another player. It would be player for player. Maybe another. I think it would be similar to the type of player that Andre Burakovsky is, a young player, someone who needs a change of scenery, someone who has a high ceiling, who for whatever reason, wherever he is not exactly working out. You know, maybe someone like Jesse Puljujärvi from Edmonton, someone like that to bolster the team's lineup for the Cup run, because they're all in on going for the Cup again. They're not going to trade Burakovsky for picks or for prospects because that just makes their roster weaker and loads up for the future. They're not thinking future right now. They are thinking Stanley Cup. So I would look, someone to bolster that third line and a defenseman would be my guess for what this team adds.
All right, that is J.J. Regan of NBC Sports Washington. Once again, you can find him on Twitter at J.J. Regan NBCS, and you can read his writings on NBCSportsWashington.com. J.J., thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and look forward to catching up with you, hopefully sometime down the road.
Sounds good. Anytime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.